Take your Bible tonight and go to Joshua chapter number 6. And I'm going to read one verse to you tonight in Psalms chapter number 23. David said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." He said, "My cup runneth over." I remember as a child watching the old timers sip coffee out of their saucer, where that coffee cup had just spilled over, and I could hear them, they'd sip it like that, sipping from that. You know what they was doing? They was enjoying the overflow. We ought to enjoy the overflow every now and then. If you never have an overflow, something's the matter. I preached a message one time. I forget the title, but I used our river systems and how they work. I said there's got to be an underflow. Yep. But every now and then, there needs to be an overflow.
Yes, sir.
You know what overflow does? It affects everybody around you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Hey, it's a little girl said in Sunday school one time, she said, "If Jesus is so big and he's inside me, won't he poke out somewhere?"
Yeah.
I've been watching some of y'all for some time waiting on him to poke out somewhere. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Joshua chapter number 6. I started this message last Sunday, and I got so wound up in the introduction that was as far as I got. So I prayed about it and asked the Lord if he'd help me and if he'd allow me to finish preaching this message about faith and how faith works. Joshua chapter number 6, we'll read some scripture in a minute, but you know we've got the story of Jericho and how the children of Israel marched around it for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched 7 times. When they got done marching, they all shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets, and the walls came tumbling down. And we see in Joshua chapter number 6 how faith works as clear as we see it anywhere in the Bible. Now listen, if you are a new Christian, you hadn't been saved very long, you know what? I don't expect your faith to be that great. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a song the kids sing when I didn't really trust him. I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough. He said, when I first got started, I did not really trust him. I did not really fully trust the Lord. Isn't it funny how you can trust him with the most prized possession, your soul, but can't trust him with your life?
Amen.
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 But if you're a new Christian, I understand that your faith may be weak, really, really weak at times. But if you've been in this thing 20 or more years, your faith should have grown. Amen. Everything, like the song said, I've been through enough to know he'll be enough. I've been beside a boy's bed, my son's bed, when he lay there in a coma. I've been there. I've been from funeral home to nursing home to hospital to, I mean, brother, I've seen God do some great and mighty and amazing things. I don't worry about money. I let Brother Tom take care of that for both of us. I don't worry about money. God put me here. God keep me here till he's ready to move me somewhere else. As we grow as Christians, our faith should grow. How many of you have seen God move when you didn't think there was a way? You saw God make a way when you thought, man, there ain't going to be no way out of this one, man. And then the Lord show up. I mean, buddy, just like the hero in the old movies, like the Lone Ranger, buddy. The little damsel's tied on the railroad track and the train's coming around the corner, whoop, whoop, puffing black smoke. And out of nowhere comes the Lone Ranger. Right on time, Everett. I'm glad he's right on time. Amen. Our faith should have grown a little bit. We ought to trust God a little more today than we used to years ago. But we're human and we walk around in this body of flesh and we're still, I've been saved 31 years and I'm still apt to doubt. Somebody help me right there. Rest of you is lying. If you sit there and say, oh, I just trust God 100% all the time, you are a bald-faced liar. If you say, I never worry, you on dope. Amen. You got a bottle full of pills in your purse. If you don't never worry, you ain't in your head. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I worry. I worry about things. I'm worried about that little boy laying up in that hospital right now. I really am. I know what God can do. I know God can raise him up. God can stop that bleed on his brain just like he did my son. I know what God can do, but yet I still got flesh, and flesh still, flesh still says, uh-oh, this ain't good.
Yes,
amen. But our faith should have grown. This past Sunday morning, we talked about how faith works. And by the way, it does. Faith works. Let me say it again. Faith works. You can trust God when you can't trust nothing. I was listening to a commercial this afternoon, and I wasn't even paying TV no attention, and I just heard it. It was Ron Paul, the guy who ran for president back last time or time before last, and he had a commercial out. And he's telling about how the economy is going to get worse than it did this past time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He's talking about the stock market crashing and all this stuff. And I know there's a lot of doomsday sayers out there and that kind of thing. But what I'm saying is you cannot put your faith in the government. You can't put your faith in your money. I don't want to revisit that whole message. I'd like to, because I had a blast preaching it. You can't put your faith in your health. Remember, I told y'all last Sunday about that guy. I joined that stupid gym that time. Stupidest thing I ever done. Some of y'all looking at me like, there's nothing wrong with going to a gym. I didn't like it. The guy told me, he said, I can lift 400 pounds. I said, why? Ain't you got a jack? Hey, man, people putting out, hey, these people out jogging, crunching on granola, they falling out like flies, friend. Amen. I'm serious heart attack. I ain't against your health. I mean, take care of yourself. But people putting their faith in that. Oh, I'm going to exercise. I'm going to live forever. No, you ain't. You dying right now, Jack. Faith works. You can trust God. Hey, when you can't trust the government, when you can't trust your own help, hey, I can't even trust myself. I can trust God. We talked about how faith works, and then we talked about how faith wars. Faith wars. Faith will fight. Are you listening? I know some Baptist preachers, and they're my friends, and I preach with several of them around the country, but they so mean, I don't see how they sleep with themselves. They are. They mean. I'm just talking about flat out mean. Fight over everything in the world. Hey, man, I got one preacher buddy of mine preaches against wearing a colored shirt. Yeah. Actually, I heard him do it. I'm talking about lately. Now, I know everybody preached that in the 60s, but he preached about you can't wear nothing but a white shirt. I thought, you're stupid. He's way bigger than me, so I didn't tell him. I just thought it. Amen. But that bunch will fight you over everything in the world. Now, some stuff ain't worth fighting for. I don't care if Jason is dressed like Johnny Cash. Doesn't bother me one bit. I hear that train coming. It's coming around the bend. It probably will be here in just a few minutes, too. I could care less what color shirt he's got on. I do have issues with Levi's socks sometimes. I sit on the platform, look over, he's got his leg propped up, look like Pippi Longstocking. Look like a peppermint cane going up his leg. I'm like, man, where'd you get them socks? I ain't gonna fight you over your socks. Amen. I ain't gonna fight you real hard over whether or not a lady's wearing a pair of pants. Well, don't die on me now. She ain't getting in the choir, but she's welcome in this church. There's been a few around here I wish to the Lord they had on a pair of breeches. Looked like they cut the toe out of a tube sock. If they had a quarter in their back pocket, you could tell if it's heads or tails. Amen. But there's some of this crowd, they'll fight you over everything in the world. I'm too old. I'm 50. I let Levi fight you. I ain't doing it. Amen. Seriously. But faith does fight. When it's right, faith fights. Faith doesn't give up. Faith doesn't give up. Faith says, hey, I'm going to live to fight another day. I'm going to face this thing till a bitter end. Yeah. Amen. Amen. This time some of you got some fight up in you. You give up too easy. You give up, you ladies that are there at the home, at the ranch. Look here, you might mess up. Yeah. We're not excusing messing up. But if you do, get up and go. The Bible said a just man falleth seven times. He said a just man, that's a good man, that's a godly man, falleth seven times. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't know how just I am, but I fail more than seven times. You know what you got to do? You got to fight on. You got to say, this is not beating me. I will get up again and again and again and again and again. Just keep getting up, dust yourself off, and go on. Faith, I can't preach this whole thing. Faith works, it wars. Listen to me carefully. Faith waits. Faith waits. I'm about the impatientest man on earth. I pray for patience. Lord, give me patience. Give it to me now. I'm so impatient. I mean, I have a hard time. People want to talk about fishing and going, getting some worms in a cork. No, you out of your mind. I'd throw dynamite in the water if I had to wait on that. I love the fish. I'm throwing a lure out there and reel it in. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make something happen. I am impatient. How many of you impatient? I am bad impatient. But faith waits. Here's what faith said. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know it's coming. It wouldn't shock me. You'd hear me shout from here to New Georgia if Tom called me tomorrow and said the big check came. Got a pretty nice one today. Lord been good, man. Lord been good to us. I don't say too much. Anyway, I don't know when that check's coming, but if Tom calls tomorrow and says there's a check in the mailbox up here for $1 million, well, about time. I mean, I'm serious. I'll shout and rejoice, but I'm not going to be shocked. Some people get an answer to their prayer and they're blown away. We ought to be more blown away when we don't get an answer to our prayer. When we don't get answered our prayer, we're over there going, what's the matter? What happened here? He said, ask. I asked. I wonder if there's something between me and him. We ought to be more concerned when we don't get an answer than when we do. Faith works, faith wars, faith waits. And this is where I finished last Sunday. Faith wins. Faith wins. We read this story. I ain't even looked at it, have I? We read this story, and we see faith winning. And we're going to examine this thing a little bit tonight, and I want to show you how faith works and how you need to exercise your faith. Jericho, the Bible said, was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. I forgot this again. Levi, go find Tom. He'll bill me for 2 weeks' tithes next week. I forgot it this morning, forgot it again tonight. Where was I at? And the Lord said unto Joshua, verse number 2, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpet. And it came to pass that when they made a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now look up here. What God just said is exactly what happens. Now let me tell you about faith. Faith's very first rule of action. The very first rule of action is to ascertain or find out what the will of God is. Do you understand that? To find out the will and the word of God. Joshua didn't just sit around the campfire spitballing this thing and going, I got an idea. Let's take all the men of war and the priests and the trumpets of ram's horns and the Ark of the Covenant and let's march around this bad boy for 6 days. On the 6th day, let's march 7 times. And on the 7th time, let's blow them horns and shout, and I bet them walls will fall. No, Joshua got him a word from God. Now, let me tell you something. You have to read your Bible for that to happen. We got too many people seeing visions. People want to come tell me about their dreams. I don't want to hear about your dreams. I could tell you some, curl your toenail. Preacher, the Lord showed me in a dream. Nah, scripture, please.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. God speaks to us through His Word. Do you understand that? When God gave Joshua direction, He gave it to him from His mouth. Now listen to me carefully. We have the mouth of God presented to us in just a few ways. Number uno,
yes, sir.
His Word. Did you know you have this when you don't have your preacher? You can have that 24/7. It can lay right there by your bed. You can wake up troubled in the middle of the night and get you a word from God. Hey, when's the last time God spoke to you out of His Word? I don't mean you just read it. I mean God specifically instructed you in some area of your life, convicted you of a sin, whatever it may be. God gave you an answer to something you had inquired about from His Word. Y'all remember the little booklet? You can get them at the bookstore. It's God's little answer book. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You can go through here and find all these situations for your life and find God's answer. Hey, the Bible is full of answers. You understand that? The first rule of action for faith is to find out the will and the Word of God. Let me give you the second rule of action. When you hear the Word, obey.
Yeah. Amen.
Obey. Now listen, we could go over here to the little, I believe it's chapter 7. We could go over here to where Joshua sent his men and they went to attack the little town of Ai. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
They did it their way.
Yeah.
And they got their tails whipped. You know why? They did not follow directions.
Amen.
They took a shortcut.
Yeah.
God said, take all the men of war. Joshua sent spies and they came back and said, everybody don't need to go. Well, if God said everybody need to go, everybody need to go.
Amen.
Would you agree?
Amen.
They got whipped by a far smaller city than Jericho simply because they disobeyed the Word of God.
Amen.
I wonder how many of you know when you're doing wrong. How many of you know when you know right from wrong?
Yeah.
We got four-year-olds in the nursery that know right from wrong.
Yeah.
We know. How many of you know when you're doing something? And has God ever brought a scripture up in your mind?
Yeah.
The first rule of action, find out the will of God. Find out the Word of God. Second rule of action, do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. The stupidest thing anybody can do is run from God. How do you run from somebody who says his eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good? How do you run from somebody who's omnipresent? You run this way, oop, there he is. You run that way, there he is. Everywhere you go. You can't get away from God. Somebody said, well, I believe this is the will of God for my life, but I'm afraid. There's a whole lot of stuff out there to be afraid of, and the will of God ain't one of them. The will of God's the greatest thing in your life. The will of God's the greatest thing for your life. I remember when standing in a pulpit scared me. I still get nervous. I get more than nervous. I get really burdened. My heart gets heavy. I know when there's lost people here. You don't have to tell me. I can feel it. On Sunday morning, I look at Freddie in the choir and say, pray for me. He said, what's the matter? I'm tore out of frame. That's what's the matter. It gets heavy. But I'm not scared of it. I'm not afraid of it. Matter of fact, it's something that I never thought I'd enjoy. It's something that I never sat in the pew and thought, I'd like to do that one day.
Yeah.
Miss Jane, I wanted to be Kenneth Corden and tote that big checkbook around. Tell a preacher what to do. I'm serious heart attack. If I had a vision for what I was going to be, I wanted to be the Big Daddy Rabbit Deacon. Amen. God had other plans. God said, no, you're not going to be Daddy Rabbit Deacon. You're going to be Bird Dog Preacher. Amen. Are y'all listening? I had no idea. It's the greatest thing I ever done. I love hunting and fishing. I love riding horses. Me and Chris started two colts yesterday. First time we ever started two horses in one day. That means two brand new ones ain't never been rode yesterday. That's a cowboy right there. Amen. His wife can outride him, though. No, she rides him pretty good. There's things I enjoy doing, but nothing takes the place of this. I had a guy, well, last week in Arkansas, a preacher friend of mine, Brother Kurt Howard, he came down to where I was preaching, was in service with. He said, "How many deer did you kill this year?" I said, "Nary one." He said, "You didn't kill a deer?" I said, "No." He said, "Man, must have been a bad year." I said, "I didn't go." He said, "You didn't go deer hunting?" I said, "No. My deer stand's been hanging for 2 years. I finally did get it on a pole at the farm videoing the horses." Serious heart attack. I said, "Man, I ain't been." He said, "Why ain't you been?" I said, "The whole deer season, the height of the rut, we've got camp meeting and I'm preaching off." And they said, well, he said, "Man, bless your heart. You go and slow down. Hey, listen, man, I like to deer hunt, but I like this better. I'm not afraid of the will of God." What you ought to do instead of running from the will of God is embrace and obey the will of God. Amen. Faith, first rule of action, find out the will of God. Second rule of action, do it. Thirdly, and lastly, whatever that thing is, count on that word as good as done. Are you with me? Go ahead and give glory to God. Now I want you to notice something about our children of Israel right here in our story. In Joshua chapter number 6, Levi, before the ground ever rumbled, before the first stone ever shook, they's giving God the glory. Before anything ever happened, they're shouting. I'm sure them soldiers, them Jericho soldiers, I'm sure they're laughing at them. Look at this bunch of idiots. You say, "Now, preacher, you think it's okay to go ahead and thank God for what he hadn't done?"
Yes, sir.
I think it is very much okay. Matter of fact, when you start thanking him for what he hadn't done yet, kind of obligates him, don't you think?
Amen.
Are y'all all right? First rule of action, find out the will of God. Second rule of action, talk to me. Do it. Obey him. Third rule of action, count on it. Good, as good as being done. As good as being done. Hey, listen, don't lay down in doubt. Lay down in faith. Ask God, like that guy in the Bible, increase my faith. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, help mine unbelief. I pray that. I've been your pastor for 22 years, and I still pray, Lord, increase my faith. Actually, I don't know where y'all at, but I want y'all to sing that for the invitation, if you will. Faith, how it works. Find out the will of God. Obey the will of God. Count on it. Count on it. Are you listening to me? Man, Brother Tom, he takes care of my livelihood. I count on a paycheck. We started this thing this year called the automatic direct deposit. Direct deposit. My wife will say, "Did your check go in the bank today?" "I don't know." She said, "You hadn't looked?" "No." She said, "Why?" Bungeline takes care of that. What are you saying? I don't look for what I know is already there. And if I can trust my secretary to the point that I don't have to look to check and see if it's there, if I can trust my secretary like that, how much more can I trust my Heavenly Father? How much more can I just count on what I've asked Him for? What He's already showed me was His will. Now, when that economy went so bad and we were so strapped and had so many families out of work, boy, I'm telling you, we had some sleepless nights. I worried and I shouldn't have. Every time I'd worry, God would take me to that balcony up there, Brother Joe, where you're sitting, and show me when He told me this was the will of God for our church.
Yeah, that's good.
And if this is the will of God, God can take care of that.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of naysayers out there said we wouldn't last 6 months. We've been here 18 years.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. What I'm saying, if I can trust my secretary to put my check in the bank, I can trust my God.
Yeah.
I can trust my God to help that little old boy down there in the hospital.
Yeah.
Both them little old boys. I don't know the other one, but I'm praying for them both. I can trust God for that. Hey, I don't know what we're supposed to do next. I don't, as a church. We was as jam-packed as we could be. If a fire marshal would come in here this morning and shut us down, that's all there is to it. They'd have said, "No, you can't do this." If they came in here right now, they could. Just because of code violations. We ain't got an aisle in the place as wide as it's supposed to be. I shouldn't be advertising all this, but We got to do something. Now stay with me. Don't fall out in you. Don't fall out in the floor. It's going to be several million dollars, whatever we do. What, God died on me right there? All you got to do is mention money around this crap. I'm talking probably at least five. You say, that's huge, preacher. That is nothing compared to the 2.4 million was when we came here. Are y'all listening? They wasn't a third of us when we came here. So 2.4 million 18 years ago is no different than 10 million is today. I'm saying if I can trust God for this, I can trust Him for whatever's next. And just count on that thing as good as being done. Y'all got a minute? Let me give you a couple more little things. Some principles of action concerning our faith. Now, I want you to notice four things about faith and how it works in this chapter, and I'll be done. Four things how faith works in this chapter, and we'll be done. Here they are. I want you to notice the procedure of faith, how it works in the conquest of Jericho. Number one, the seeming folly of it. The seeming silly or seeming ridiculous of it. Okay, here we are at the biggest enemy we're going to face in the promised land. They've got great walled cities. Some book I was reading one time said the walls of Jericho were wide enough to have a chariot race on. Pretty big walls. Greatest army in the land. Here comes Joshua with the word from God. All right, boys, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to take any weapons. We're going to take the preacher boys and some trumpets and that ark. And we're going to march around this place for 6 days. On the sixth day, we're going to march seven times. We're going to shout and God's going to lay her down. Yeah, right. Moses has been on it again. Joshua been on it. Joshua just hitting the bottles and he's fried. We want some of what you smoking. Come on, seriously. Can you imagine if God said, okay, I'm going to pay that building off, but I want Happy Valley to show up everybody 100% and y'all go march around the bank for 6 days. If I came in here and said that, y'all would laugh me to scorn. Y'all would say, that's it. He's flipped his lid. It's over now. The rubber band, Brother Freddie says, it's a good idea. They might pay us to get rid of us, amen? Can y'all imagine that? But what if God said, do that? Are y'all okay? Now listen, whatever our next move is, Brother Chris, it may seem wild. We should have done something a long time ago, be honest with you. And I'll be honest with you, I think I got one more big project in me. I'm serious. Oh, I've got Brother Joe looking at property right now. Y'all, we're going to go on for God or we ain't. Amen. We'll sell this to Creflo. Hey, they buying up churches all over the country. Amen. I'll take her money. The principles or the procedure of faith, sometimes it ain't going to make a whole lot of sense. It might seem silly to do exactly what God said do. You see, sometimes God asks us to do things that seem ridiculous because it's non-human. There's no way flesh can reason it. That won't work. With God, how many things are possible? A-double-L. Now, you got to go to Bible school to get this. You know what that means? All things. God do anything He wants to. Yeah. Amen. He can have one of them railroad cars out there turn over and drop gold all in his parking lot.
Yeah.
And we'll be out there with the offering plate. Amen. God do anything He wants to do.
That's right.
You understand that? Yeah. And when He does, it's oftentimes unorthodox to what we think. You said that can't work like that. Are you limiting God? He accused the Israelites of it in Psalms. How long? Have you turned back? How long have you limited the Lord your God? Man, don't put God in a box. If God said march around that thing 6 days, 7 days, march seven times, everybody shout and holler. Bless God, that sounds like a plan. Amen. You know what? When Joshua brought the news to these people, he didn't sound real hesitant. He didn't say, well, I know this is silly. Don't shoot. I know this don't make a lick of sense, but here's what he said. Now, y'all ain't going to believe this. Stay with me. No, he sounded pretty positive. I wonder why. You understand, Joshua lived them 40 years on the other side of the river. Joshua had seen the miracles of God. He could tell you about the manna. He could tell you about the fire. He could tell you about the water that come out of a rock. Joshua knew what God was capable of. The procedure of faith, sometimes it may be silly. Number two, the inner wisdom of faith. The inner wisdom of faith. Now listen carefully. Nothing could make more sense than just doing what God said do. Nothing could really be wiser than just doing what God said do. Even though, I don't care how crazy it may seem. Now, God ain't going to ask you to drink poison. God ain't going to ask you to dance with no rattlesnake. That's the stupidest stuff I ever heard. Grew up in my home church, Lonnie Mack Micken. You remember Brother Lonnie, Miss Jane, Lonnie Mack? Lonnie Mack, he was a snake man. Lonnie Mack always had snakes. He stood up in church one Wednesday night, and it's when all that North Georgia stuff was going on, them people dancing with them snakes. Lonnie said he went up there on a Sunday night, slipped in late, and sat down on the back row. But he had a toe sack with him. And he slid that toe sack up under the pew and he waited. He said they got to beating on them electric guitars and chanting and yelling and hollering. He said, next thing I know, there's two or three women up holding a rattlesnake and dancing with that snake. He said, I sat there a few minutes. He said, I just grabbed that toe sack and turned it bottom upwards in the middle of the aisle and said, here, y'all dance with mine. He said that place went cleared out. He said, you can raise a Bengal tiger from a baby. God ain't going to ask you to do something stupid. But he may ask you to do something that don't make a lot of sense to this world. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you. I ain't saying God hadn't showed me anything. I'm looking for answers. And whatever they are, I'm going to take them when I get them. But if God said, you go to the bank tomorrow and start a construction loan for $8 million. If God told me to do that, I'd do it. Y'all all right? Brother, I've done come far enough in this thing just to do whatever he said. Whatever he said. The inner wisdom, no matter how it don't make sense to you, just obey God. You'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong obeying God. That's the inner wisdom of faith. Then there's the deeper meaning of faith. Here's the deeper meaning of it. Nothing could be more significant than the fact that here we see God and man. God and man working together for the pulling down of a satanic stronghold. Do you understand it? Oh, God could have done it all by himself. But God chooses to use us. Isn't it amazing when we partner up with God and God says, here, I want you to do it just like this right here, and this thing's going to come to pass. And we take exactly what God said, but we're not going on our own. They didn't walk around that city by themselves. God was there the entire time. They were obeying God. They were obeying the will and the word of God. But yet, because of the obedience, the presence and the power of God was there. Amen. I don't know about you. I like the power of God. Amen. I didn't go to Bible school. I got to have him. I can't do this by myself. Are y'all listening to me? Man, how cool is that? Have you ever, you know what the Bible says? We are co-laborers together with God. How about that, man? Do y'all ever let that just sink in? I work with God? Wow. That's pretty impressive, huh? You might say, well, I work down town Atlanta. I work in the governor's mansion. I work for God. Beat that, Jack. A lot of times I think about how I'm in the service of God. I serve God. I'm working for God. But a lot of times I fail to realize I'm not just working for God. I'm working with God. We're together on this thing. I'm trying to hush. I am. Just a few months ago, we had a broke down bus on the side of the road. And it was cold. And we had babies sitting out there on a bus that was a piece of junk. And I stood in this pulpit that Sunday morning. God convicted my heart. And said, what you're going to do tomorrow is you're going to go find some buses and you're buying new buses.
Yeah.
We bought more expensive buses than we've ever bought. We paid more for one than what we had in four.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, God blessed that thing.
Yeah,
do you know Brother Tom's fixing to write a check and pay them off? Y'all hear what I said? Brother Tom says, write a check and pay them off. It was just one of those things, Brother Freddie, where I knew that was something I was supposed to do. I call the bank. No problem. Find what you want. First ad on the internet is the buses we bought. First ad. And you know what now? I can't find the guy. I was going to check and see about some parts and other things. He gone. I don't know. You know, the government was after him. When we bought them buses to get them off of that lot, they may have shut him down. I don't know. That's why we got such a deal on them buses. He had too many buses parked in his, on his lot, and they were making him, he had so many weeks to get them gone. I don't know if they shut him down or what, but I'm just telling you, you see how God orchestrated that thing?
Amen.
You say, well, they ain't that good of buses. Two or three of them's tore up, and we fixed them.
Amen.
That ain't no big deal, man. That's part of it. The inner wisdom of faith, God and man working together. God saying, go this way. Okay.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, is it that simple? It's that simple.
Amen.
Brother Paul, how long you been to mission?
6 years.
Now, buddy, I imagine when God led you in that direction, there was a lot of red flags. I'm going to deal with homeless people every day? Really? I bet you God has worked things out over and over and over, hadn't he, brother?
Amen.
Anybody that's been in the ministry any length of time could tell you, man, when God's in it, if God be for us, who can be against us? People say, that Jason Crow's an idiot, man. He's rented a house over there and got it full of women. And they'll probably come up with some bad junk to say about you. That's all right. If God's in that thing, and God was in that thing. Let me tell you something. If don't nothing ever happen, but that I get to see Brandy's life turned around,
amen.
It's worth every last dime, every last effort. God's in it.
Yes.
You might think, man, this is crazy. Open a thrift store? Man, this is, I got more than I can do right. If God said do it, brother, you better do it.
Yes.
People come to me all the time and say, preacher, God wants me to do this. What do you think? You better do it. If you're sure it's God, if you've got confirmation, you know this is God leading you in that direction, you better go.
Amen.
Amen. Man, it is awesome when you partner up with God and you've both got the same goal in mind. Son, you can mark that thing down. Them walls coming down. Amen. Well, lastly, and I'm done, we talked about the seeming folly of faith or the seeming senseless. The inner wisdom, the deeper meaning, but then I want you to notice the utter triumph of faith. The utter triumph of faith. Can you imagine the look on the faces of the Israelites when that ground started shaking? You know, man, they've been marching. I mean, that seventh day, they marched around that thing seven times. That was an all-day job. They're tired. And they stopped and said, do-do-do-do, and they said, woo, hallelujah! And all of a sudden, they start seeing them rocks shake a loose. Not only can you imagine the look on the Israelites' face, can you imagine the look on the face of the soldiers of Jericho?
Yeah.
Amen.
We just got whooped.
Yeah.
And they ain't got no guns. They ain't even got a sword. All they did was holler. I can just see little old, what's her name? Rahab. Yeah. Sitting up there on that wall holding that red string. Ooh, I hope this works. Amen. Yeah. I hope this works. See, that whole city was already scared. The Bible said it was shut up because of the Israelites. They knew they was coming. They had done heard what God could do.
Amen.
The utter triumph of faith. You've had to got to enjoy some of that triumph in your life. I guarantee you have.
Amen.
There's been times when your faith has paid off. I stood here on a Sunday night years ago and burned the second mortgage on our property. God took care of that. That was $250,000. It had been more like $500,000 with interest. It had been $500,000. And we set fire to it right here on Sunday night. Hey, next one's going to be that first mortgage. Amen. I'm going to burn it, and we're going to do a holy dance all the way around that trash can while it's burning. Shout like Indian, boy. Burn, baby, burn. Faith. Sometimes we may need to get to the spot where we say, Lord, my faith ain't what it ought to be.
Amen.
Heard an old preacher say, and I'll never forget it, never untie in doubt what you tied up in faith.
Yeah, that's good.
Never untie in doubt. Brother Edward Maccabee said that years ago. Never untie in doubt what you tied up with faith. You know what the devil will do? The devil will make you doubt. God will show you something just as sure as the world, and you know it's God's will, and then the devil will jump in there and go, this ain't going to work. You can't do that. Who do you think you are? Who qualified you? Well, God did. God had a little donkey preach a sermon to Balaam. Sure did. He had a rooster preach to Peter. They got tax money out of a fish's mouth. I've caught a bunch of fish. Ain't none never had a dollar. I'm serious. I ain't never caught a fish with money in its mouth. Are you listening? God can use anybody he wants. Anybody he wants. I thought about this old guy, and I know he kind of went along with the Southern Baptist and all that kind of stuff, but man, when he first come on the scene, I admired that guy, David Ring. Y'all remember him?
Amen.
The guy with cerebral palsy? Man, I'd listen to him preach, I'd cry like a baby, man.
Yes, sir. Yes.
He'd get up in that pulpit, that old crooked hand, he'd say, I have cerebral palsy. What, your problem? I thought, whoa. God is famous at using people that doesn't seem usable. One of the greatest leaders in the Bible couldn't talk plain. Moses. Are you listening? Uneducated. Simon Peter, a fisherman. God can take anybody from any situation and get honor and glory out of your life. I don't care how bad your past is. I don't care how bad your addictions have been. God can clean you up. God can set you up and God get honor and glory. But you've got to believe him. Gotta believe. I mean, you just gotta believe. Hey, with God, all things are possible. I can get clean. I can get clean with God. I can get on my feet. I can get my children back. Yes, you can. We're gonna watch it happen. So when I sat here last Sunday morning a little bit down there in the altar praying on her kids, whoo, that made my day. I've rejoiced over that every day this week, man. I'm telling you, God do anything. But we gotta have sense enough to say, okay. If that's what you want, I'm in. And if this is the way you want to do it, I'm for it. Yeah. However unorthodox or silly it may be. Can you believe, Brother Paul, when we first come here, we were sharing this sanctuary with the First Baptist Church. Yeah, they had church on Wednesday. We had church on Thursday. They still had all their offices. Everything was still in full operation. We had our Christian school here in this building. Independent and as Southern Baptist as you can get using the same building. God, you know what God said? Watch this. Watch this. Somebody call the sword of the Lord. I'm fixing to put crazy Eddie White and that shouting bunch of nuts in the building with the First Baptist Church.
Yeah.
You can't tell me he ain't got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you, and you can help me pray about this if you want to. I've told the Lord we'll do whatever he wants to do. Whatever he wants to do. We'll move. A lady down the city told me, she said, 4 acres is 4 acres, preacher. She said, you could probably build, but you never get enough parking. So I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. But here's what I pray. A couple Sundays ago, we had our big day. Brother Chris, y'all was out there playing ball. You know what I was doing? I was begging God for that place. I was trying to tell God, God, this gold dust part, this would work out real good. We could have a 1,000-seat auditorium. We could have church in there Sunday. Don't tell us. We done walked it. Boy, got quiet. I don't know what God wants, but whatever he wants, I've been through enough to know he'll be enough. Ashley, y'all come and get us a song. Is she still in here? Yeah. Have you been doubting a little bit here lately? You've been worried about the money. You've been worried about this and worried about that. When's the last time you fully gave something to God, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you? When's the last time you fully said, God, here is my situation. I'm taking my hands off. I'm trusting you with it 100%. That means you go to bed tonight and go to sleep. That means you go home tonight and say, it's in God's hands. Let's stand our feet tonight. Did y'all need Levi or did you need Levi or Bibba? Okay. Now you just mind the Lord tonight.